imagine for a second we were all going on a journey, and the journey was the journey to find satisfaction. And we had our bags packed, and we didn't really know how long we were going to be gone, but we knew it was going to be a long journey. And we kind of packed everything up, we got our bags, and we kind of were filled with wonder of what it was going to be like to find pure satisfaction. Think about all the things that we could go pursue, the places we could go, the experiences we could go after. And as we go out, and after we've packed our bags, we go out of the front door, and on the front door, we see this old man who's sitting in a rocking chair. And the old man looks at us, and he kind of smiles, and he says, "Where are you going?" And we look at the old man, and we say, "Well, we're going on a journey." And he says, "Well, where are you going on the journey?" "Well, we're going on the journey to find satisfaction." And he just smiles, and he says, "Hey, just promise me one thing." And we say, "What?" He says, "Why don't you sit down with me for a few moments and let me share with you, because I've already been on that journey. I've already been everywhere you think you want to go. I've already experienced everything you think you want to experience. I've already seen everything you want to see. I've touched everything you want to touch. I've tasted everything you want to taste. I've seen it all, and I think it'd be important for me to share that with you before you go." For the next 30 to 35 minutes, I want us to sit down on the front porch with this old man. His name is Solomon. You see, Solomon was a king. He was David's son, and he did experience more things than any human being had ever experienced. Yet at the end of his life, kind of the epiphany that he had was that he should have never left in the first place. And for some of us today, whether we're kind of in the process of leaving, we're in the process of packing our bags to go find whatever it is we're looking for, or we've left long ago and we just haven't found satisfaction yet, or maybe you're like Solomon, you've already gone on that journey. That's the reason you're here today, because you know that it doesn't satisfy. Whoever you are today, I pray that we would be encouraged by spending about 30 to 35 minutes hearing about the life of this guy, King Solomon. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to kind of be all over the place. We're going to start in 1 Kings chapter 3, but before we do that, let me pray for us. Father, each of us are on a journey called life. Each of us have decisions that we have to make. Each of us have desires and longings deep inside of us. Some of them are from you, some of them are not. But Lord, we recognize today that what you can teach us in your word, what you can teach us through the life of somebody else, what you can teach us through the life of Christ can change us. And so, Lord, I pray if there are people who are packing their bags to go on a fruitless endeavor, God, I pray you'd stop them today. If people are gone far away from home today, that they would come home, and that for those who have returned back home and realize it's where they're supposed to be, God, never let them forget it. God, we thank you for today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this old man Solomon that's sitting in the rocking chair, man, I want to tell you a few things about Solomon that you need to know. If you were sitting down with him, he would tell you, "Let me tell you a little bit about myself. The first thing is that I'm a seeker." Solomon was a seeker. He had this incredible opportunity that many of us wish we had with God. He was dreaming one night, and in his dream, he saw God. And God spoke to him. And in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5 through 9, we get the idea of what that interaction was like. I'll read it. "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give you.' And Solomon said, 'You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness and righteousness and in uprightness of heart towards you. And you have kept from him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" We get a little bit of an insight into the heart of Solomon. Solomon was a seeker. He was a seeker of wisdom. He finds himself in a position where he kind of gets what we, many of us, I know at least for me, before I really understood who God was, I thought God was kind of like the genie in the bottle. Like, you get that one opportunity to ask for something, what would you ask for? You get three wishes, whatever it is. And I kind of treated my relationship with God that way. Well, Solomon actually gets that opportunity in this dream. He comes face to face with the God of all creation, the dream, and the God of all creation says, what shall I give you? I am the God of all creation. I can give you anything. What is it that you desire? And the scripture says he's young. He's but a youth. He actually describes himself, I don't even know how to go out or come in. I don't even know the basics of life yet. Yet I have to govern this great multitude of people. For many of us, if we saw ourselves as a teenager and we came face to face with God and God said, what is it that I could give you? We would ask for something stupid. I mean, you're not even a teenager anymore and you still ask for something stupid. I know I would. But you get that opportunity and Solomon asks for the very thing that is priceless. He says, just give me wisdom so I can govern your people justly. Solomon was a seeker, and you see it throughout his life. He constantly was going after to learn more, to gain more, to understand more. There's not a lot of people like that. There's not a lot of people who are learners, who are seekers in the world. A lot of people are just kind of where they are. They don't ask the deeper questions. But Solomon was that kind of guy. He asked the deeper questions. He had everything at his disposal. The king of a kingdom, yet he wanted more wisdom from God so he could govern more justly. You see, Solomon was a seeker. The reason we should listen to this old guy as he sits in the rocking chair, as we have our bags packed to go out on this journey for satisfaction, the reason we should ask him is because we should listen to him is because he was a seeker. He asked the questions that we wish we would have asked, and he found the answers. This pleased God. The second thing we see about the reason we should listen to Solomon this morning is that he was savvy. So what the scripture teaches us is that after he asked God for wisdom, the scripture says God gave it to him in abundance. And a great story that we see in this is as Solomon was ruling, one of the things the king had to do was deal with disputes among his people. And one day, these two prostitutes were brought before him, and they were arguing. And the reason they were arguing was because they both had children one night, the same time. And when they had their children that night, one of the mothers rolled over on the child in bed and the baby died. And the other one lived. Well, the one who had the baby who had died woke up in the middle of the night, noticed her baby was dead. She took her dead baby and gave it to the other woman who was still sleeping and took the other woman's baby and brought it to her. Well, when they both wake up that day, the woman looks down and sees this dead child and she weeps and cries and she looks closer and she realizes this isn't my child. So she goes to the other woman and says, hey, that's my child. You've taken my child. And they go back and forth. Well, it gets to before the king. And King Solomon, who'd asked God for wisdom, he has an incredible thing that he does here. As they're arguing, there's really no proof. There's no way to know. Solomon says, bring me a sword. So they bring him a sword. And Solomon says, it's okay. If you guys both want the child, I'll cut the child in half and give one half to you and one half to the other. Knowing that the right mother, the real mother, would never allow their child to die. They would rather their child live in the care of someone else than to be dead. Where the other one didn't care. The other one was fine. If I can't have the child, then nobody can have the child. Well, Solomon immediately knows then who the woman is. And this story kind of went throughout the kingdom to realize, man, Solomon is a really wise man. He is very savvy. He, throughout his life, throughout his career as a king, he was an incredible, savvy businessman. He made alliances and trade alliances with countries that God's people had never had alliances with. Solomon was very savvy, very wise person. He asked God for wisdom, and God gave it to him. And he exercised that wisdom on a continual basis. He was savvy. Why should we listen to this old guy? As we have our bags packed, ready to go on this journey, why should we stop for a second and listen to this man who's rocking in the rocking chair? Simple. He was wise, savvy. He hadn't lost his mind yet. He still can give us some good insight. I think the third reason we should listen to this man is because he was successful. Nobody was more successful than Solomon. Listen to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 10 through 14. It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, because you have asked this, and you have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemy, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you who has been before you and none like you shall arise after you. I shall give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you. and all your days, and if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. And so what we find out is that when he responds to God, give me a discerning mind, give me an ability to make decisions, give me wisdom, God then gives him riches. He gives him a long life. He promises him things he didn't even ask for. But some of you might say, well, yeah, I kind of get that, but that's Solomon's explanation of it. I mean, that what's written in 1 Kings is Solomon's explanation of that interaction. But don't take Solomon's word for it. There was a time, I think, that blows me away as I read through Solomon, where a foreign queen came to see him. You guys might be familiar with this. There's been movies made of it. The Queen of Sheba comes to visit Solomon because she's heard of his massive kingdom, and she wants to see what he's about. So she brings all these spices and gold, and she comes with her great entourage to see Solomon's kingdom. And listen what it says here in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, about the way Sheba saw his success. And Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, and the attendance of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, and his burnt offerings that he had offered at the house of the Lord, there was no more breath in her. The success of Solomon took the breath away of a foreign queen. She had never seen such success before. She had never seen somebody who had so much power and wealth. She had never seen somebody who was so wise. Why should we not just go on our journey to find satisfaction? Why? I mean, shouldn't we do? We got one life to live. Just the other day, driving through town, I saw a Jeep. And you know how on the Jeep, they have the little tire hanging on the back, and sometimes they got a little happy face, or sometimes it just says Jeep, or sometimes this one person has one life to live, right? I was like, I don't know if they're like a really huge fan of the soap opera or if they're trying to make a statement, all right? But there's one life to live, right? I think, and you guys know that the whole YOLO movement, you know, one life to live. Let's go out and live it. Let's go out and soak it up. Let's go out and figure out what life is all about. And so many people in the world are on that journey right now. So many people in our community are on that journey right now. So many people you work with are on that journey right now. People vacation down here and are on our beaches this morning looking for the journey to satisfaction. What is it that we can get to? Where place can we have? What stuff can we have? What experiences can we have? What relationships can we have where we can finally be satisfied? Why should we stop the journey to sit and talk to this old guy? Let me tell you, because no one was more successful than him. Everything you and I could ever dream of having, he'd already had. More and more so. So before we leave the front porch and we sit down and we talk to this man, why should we listen to him? Man, because he was a seeker, because he was savvy, and because he was successful. You know, Solomon also wrote many proverbs and songs. Many of the proverbs read in the Bible written by Solomon. There's even a book in the scripture called Song of Songs or Song of Solomon that you might have heard. For the last 3,000 years, it's only been used as kind of like the intimacy guide for marriage within the Jewish people and the God's people over the last 3,000 years. This man was a poet. He was a writer. He was a lover. He was, as far as building projects, check this out. Do you know how long it took him to build his house? 13 years. It took him 13 years to build his own palace. It was that massive. He continued to build hall after hall after hall. If you read the story of Solomon, this guy, building project after building project, underneath his leadership, the people of God just continued to expand. They became some of the most known people across the world under his leadership. He built the temple, which David did not do. Because of David's unfaithfulness, he did not fulfill that right that he had through God to build the temple, to have that place where the Spirit of God would come and dwell and the people of God would worship. So his son Solomon finished the job. And Solomon builds the temple. If you guys have ever heard the story of the building of the temple of Solomon, it's unbelievable. The amount of precious stones and rubies and gold in that building were unbelievable. And that when it was done and the entire completion of the temple was done, the Holy Spirit came and flooded in there. And all the priests who were there trying to do their job couldn't because the smoke of the temple, it was filled with smoke because the Spirit of God's presence was so strong. This was all under Solomon's leadership. He had all seen this. He built more partnerships with other kings. He built ships. He made trade alliances. If we're going to sit and listen to anybody this morning about what it means to go on that journey for satisfaction, this is the man that we should listen to. Everything Solomon touched turned to gold. He was the epitome of success. However, there was some bad news for Solomon, which actually ends up being our good news today. The bad news for Solomon was this. Though he was savvy and successful, though he was a seeker, he was never satisfied. Throughout his whole life, he was never satisfied. It was never enough. Now, the author of Ecclesiastes is up in the air for a lot of people, but many, many scholars believe it was Solomon himself who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a crazy book. It's where we understand the concept of seasons and how there's good seasons and bad seasons of life. And it's an incredible book where we learn about the importance of chasing after God and not chasing after stuff. And chasing after the things of this world are like chasing after the wind. And what we find in Ecclesiastes, we see a few things that he was never satisfied with. The first one was this, and man, this is going to hit home to a lot of us. Solomon was never satisfied with sex. You say, whoa, okay, well, we just went there. I'm about to say something that's going to blow your mind. This man had over 1,000 women at his disposal. 700 wives, 300 concubines. It was never enough. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know what journey you're trying to go on today. But some of you are trying to find that journey to true satisfaction when it comes to sexual pleasure. I'm just going to tell you this. Let's listen to the old man. He might be old, but this dude was a player back in the day, okay? He will tell you, don't go on that journey. You will never get to experience the amount of pleasure that he got to experience in his life, and it still wasn't enough for him. I don't know about you, but if I got to sit down with somebody who maybe what it is that I'm longing for, he had a million times more than I'd ever experienced. And he says, listen, bro, it don't work. It ain't good enough. It's not enough. There's never that moment where you're like, okay, I'm good now. No, it's always more. Your flesh always drives for more. And I don't know about you, but some of you are in a relationship and you're not satisfied and you're looking outside of that relationship for satisfaction. Maybe that girl at work, maybe she'll do it. Maybe that person on the road where you travel, maybe they'll do it. Maybe the person next door, you guys kind of strike up that relationship, and when you hang out, you kind of got your eye on them because they seem happy. Maybe you can have what they have. And there's this lie inside of your mind that maybe, just maybe, if I got with this person, it would be enough. I would just say to you, Solomon got with 1,000 people, and it wasn't enough. And the reason for that is because you were not created simply for sexual satisfaction. So no matter how much of it you get, it'll never be enough. Because that's not why you were created. And for some of you, that's the journey you're on. For some of you, that's led to an addiction that's out of control in your life. For some of you, it's led to extramarital affair after extramarital affair, and you're trying to hide it all because you realize that something's broken. Maybe you just haven't found the right person yet. Maybe it's led to divorce after divorce after a divorce because you thought it was going to be good. At first it was good, but then it got old, and now you got to go find something else. I don't know if I'm speaking to some people in the room, but this is what I want you to hear. Before you take your bags and step off the front porch, know this. It's never going to be enough. Now, some of you are already on the journey. Maybe you hear this today. Go back home. We also find out in Solomon's life that it wasn't just sex that wasn't enough. Stuff wasn't enough. Man, some of us need to hear this. Nobody has more stuff than this. You ever have that guy in your life who, whatever you get, they always get more? Isn't it so annoying? You're like, oh man, I just got this house, you know. I'll never forget this. I'll just be honest with you. So when we first moved here, and we got our house. I was still in Mississippi. We had in when we lived in South Florida, we always had a dream of having a house with a yard. I mean, in South, I know that sounds crazy. In South Florida, it's like impossible, right? And so we finally moved to Mississippi and we got a house with a yard. And it was like almost an acre. And I'm like, this is awesome, right? And the deer were in the yard and it was just gorgeous. It is just like, oh man, it was great. And then I don't know why, but I just took a picture. I was so proud of it one day, you know? I had this house on an acre. I took a picture of it and posted it on social media, right? It's great. I have it. I've arrived. One of my old students made a post like, gosh, that house seems so small. I just wanted to murder them. You know what I mean? I'd finally gotten to what I thought I wanted, and then I realized that somebody else didn't think it was enough, and then you realize there's other people who have more than you, and then it's just like, okay, I need more. And for some of you, this isn't an issue, and that's okay. I mean, great. Praise God. That isn't one of your struggles. I know you have other struggles. Maybe it was the one we talked about just before, but maybe this isn't your issue. But for some of you in this room, this drives your life. It's why you change jobs so much. It's why you move so much. It's why you have to constantly redecorate and redo your house so much. Because you just think if you can just get that, then it will be enough. When you can finally sit down and look at your house and say, it's exactly the way I want it, then something inside will click and you will be happy. This is what I just want you to know. As you step off the front porch today, you turn around, and this old man says, will you come sit with me? This dude had more stuff than anybody who had ever lived. Building after building. 13 years to build his own house. Hall after hall. Expensive materials. Gold, diamonds, rubies, marble, everything you can imagine. He was never satisfied. It was never enough. He always wanted more. Something else had to get built. We need something more, something more. I mean, I don't know about you. I don't know if you've watched any of the draft, you know, that just took place. But you see these guys, and many of them coming from poor families or not having much, and they hug their families because they're finally getting to the league and they're going to get a big check and they're going to get paid. How many of those guys ever really get satisfied? I thought what was so interesting, a couple of the guys who got called up on stage to announce the selections of the draft, you know, they're older guys who've retired, and just empty. They're not football players anymore. They don't have the crowd cheering for them anymore. They're just dudes. And most people in the crowd don't even know who they are. And when they announce their name, like, oh, I kind of remember that dude. And at one point, that guy probably thought he had everything he ever wanted, but it's not enough. How do I know that it's never enough? Well, because you weren't created for stuff. Think about this. If God really created you for stuff, don't you think you'd be able to take your stuff with you into eternity? Don't you think that when you died, all your stuff would go with you? You'd just disappear and it would be there? I mean, I remember I saw this haunting image one time of a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You never see that. That's why? Because you know, it stays. Your kids end up fighting over it. Or you get into estates. We've had estate sales in our neighborhood. And it's just like, think about this. These things that these people long to finally have, now people are bargaining back and forth and paying 50 cents or a dollar for just to get it out of their yard. Stuff doesn't satisfy. The old man in the rocking chair would tell us that. Solomon would say, listen, stuff doesn't satisfy. Maybe that's where you are today. That's what you're pursuing. You just want more. You just think in your mind, if I could just get that thing, if I could just get that car, if I could just get that house, if I could just get that boat, if I could just redecorate and get this done, if I could just get the pool, if I could just get whatever it is. And listen, I just want you to hear it. That's fine. I mean, if you want to redo your house, that's fine. If you want to get a pool, that's fine. I'm not saying, I'm just telling you, I hope you're not doing it because you think by doing it, you'll finally be happy. If you're not happy without the pool, you won't be happy with the pool because that pool breaks. The best pool, they say, is somebody else's, right? The best boat, somebody else's. Why? Because you can enjoy it and then dip out. Stuff wasn't enough for Solomon. The third, success. Success wasn't enough for Solomon. Nobody won like Solomon. What doesn't everybody want their success to be so strong that it takes people's breath away? Holy cow. I mean, when I read that, I just like stopped. Imagine a foreign queen, rich, wealthy, comes to you because she hears of your wisdom and your great expanse of your kingdom, and she wants to learn. And so she sits at your feet, and she asks you questions. And as she asks questions, you just kind of stroke your beard. For some of you ladies, you don't have one, but you just stroke your face. And you just answer the question, and she's like, oh my gosh, like, what about this? And you answer another way. What about this? She answers another way. It's like she every question she had, he answered. And then she starts to look around. She's like, oh my gosh, like, look how much stuff he has. Look how many servants he has. I mean, look how his servants are dressed. I mean, just the other day I saw a baby. Somebody came and visited us in the hospital. And there's this little baby that came to see us. And the baby had Jordans on. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never owned a pair of Jordans. Like, still, to this day. It made me want to go and buy a pair of Jordans. Because this baby had a pair of Jordans. It was kind of like that. She has that moment where she looks out and she sees even his slaves were dressed with royal garb. And it became so overwhelming to her, she couldn't breathe. Dude, I wish I had that. Wouldn't that be so cool? Be like, I know it's a lot to take in. And this just wasn't anybody. It's easy to impress people. You know, some of us can do that with our social media stuff. We show a little bit of something. We give an idea of what our life is like, and it kind of impresses people. But I'm talking about this woman got to see behind the scenes, and she was impressed by everything. Like, there was nothing that, there was no little detail. There was no T that wasn't crossed, no I that wasn't dotted, and it just became overwhelming to her. Some of you say, man, if I could just get that degree, if I could just get that job, if I could just climb to that level, if I could just have my name on that plaque, if I could just get my name on that building, if I could just get my own company, then it will be enough. The old man in the rocking chair would tell you, it ain't going to work. The whole world knew who Solomon was. But that success wasn't enough. Because as an old man, he writes a book called Ecclesiastes. And in it, he says, it's meaningless. Now, that's easy for him to say, right? I mean, I want to know it's meaningless because I've tried it, right? I want to be able to say, oh, you know, sexual pleasure, meaningless. I mean, I've had it all. I mean, I want to be able to say, oh, stuff, meaningless. I've owned everything. I mean, success, meaningless. It's easy for him to say, right? But this is what I want to say. If any of that stuff really worked, he would have never written the book of Ecclesiastes. He would have said, I found the answer, and the answer is stuff. Go after it. He would have said, I found the answer. The answer is sex. Go after it. He would have said, oh, I know the answers. I mean, the answer is simple. I mean, getting some type of title, getting some type of role, getting some type of moment in your life, man, enough stuff, then it would be enough. But that's not what he says in Ecclesiastes. He actually says the opposite. He says, if you chase after those things, it's like chasing after the wind. And I don't know about you, I've never caught the wind. You feel it. But you never catch it. It's impossible. It's a journey that was a waste of time. You and I, bags packed, about to walk off. I'm going to go find what it means to be satisfied. Old man sitting in the rocking chair says, I've been there. I've done that. Everywhere you want to go, I've been. You said, no, I don't think you understand. Let me show you my map. I'm going to take this route. Been there. Oh, I'm going to go on this trip. Been there. Oh, I'm going to have this experience. I've done it. And he could literally pull out the old, imagine just like pulling out like the old pictures and walking you through his life. See, you know where you want to go? Look, that was me there. See that smile? It's fake. Deep down, I wasn't satisfied. Oh man, that woman? Yeah, see? Man, she was the most beautiful woman in the world at the time. Yeah, not enough. I woke up the next morning, I'm like, Oh, houses? Oh. Not enough. I don't know about you guys, this is gold. To know that you can sit down with somebody who had been there, done that, experienced it all, and can tell you flat out, bro, don't go on the journey. What you're searching for is closer than you think. The final thing that wasn't enough for Solomon, it was the ruin of his life. God. God wasn't enough. That's something opposite from his father David. You see, David messed up. We saw that last week. I mean, he messed up royally. But David, to David, God was enough. To worship God was enough. To be in the presence of God was enough. To write psalms to God was enough. To lead God's people in worship was enough. To dance before the Lord was enough for David. It was never enough for Solomon. He was bored with it. And the very wisdom he asked God for, he took that same wisdom and applied it to foolishness in worshiping false gods. He continued to make sacrifices to false gods. He made allegiances with other countries for trade, but then began to worship their gods. He took wives from other nations and began to implement their worship of their gods into his own life, and it ruined Solomon's life. When he would go to pray, he wouldn't even know who he was praying to anymore. He had so much stuff going on in his mind, so much stuff he had compromised so many times when it came to his understanding of worship that he didn't even know God anymore. It was sad. And as a young man, being in the presence of God himself, he was so right in the moment. And as life went on, for somebody who was so wise, Solomon was really dumb. Solomon would ask us this question. I don't mind you going on the journey, but Solomon would say this question. Before you step off the first step, let me ask you the question of all questions. Is God enough? Is knowing he's with you enough? Is knowing that if the journey doesn't turn out the way you thought it was going to turn out, will he still be enough for you? If the answer is no, Solomon would say, then don't go on the journey. Because at the end of the day, he's what you need most. How do I know that? This is how he ends that book of Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, this is what Solomon says. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Imagine after going on a 40-year journey of your life to soak up all the stuff, all the pleasure, all the success, you end up knowing what you should have known in the very first place because it's what your father David told you before he died. Your whole life is about God. Your whole life is about understanding that he loves you. Your whole life is about knowing that your identity is found in who God is and what he's made you to be. We sang it before the service started. The whole duty of man is to recognize that God is our Father and that our identity is that we're loved by him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has lavished on us, that we shall be called children of God, and so we are. John 1, 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This, in fact, is the most important thing about our lives, that we are loved by God, that God truly does exist, that he knows us, that he loves us, and he calls us his own. That is what life is all about. And if you don't know that, don't step off the front porch. Because all that will happen when you step off the front porch is you will be bombarded with other things that will distract you and will take you off the path. But we don't come here finally to talk about Solomon because it's not just the old man sitting in the rocking chair. There's somebody else who's standing on the front porch. And his name is Jesus. And he has a story. In John chapter 21, one of my favorite stories of all time. Jesus has already died on the cross. He's been buried. He's come alive again. He's appeared to his disciples two times now. And this is the third time. His disciples have gone out fishing. Why? Because that's what they do. And now that Jesus isn't around anymore, they don't know what to do with themselves. So after 3 years of leaving fishing, they now come back to fishing because it's all they know. And here's the crazy thing, they stink at it. They don't catch anything. They're fishing all night. And then in John chapter 21, the scripture says that they look and they see a man who is on the shore. And the man calls them and says, hey guys, why don't you throw your nets to the other side of the boat? I don't know if you've ever been fishing before. That's stupid. The same fish on one side or on the other side. But they say, whatever. I mean, they hadn't caught anything, so maybe this guy knows what he's talking about. So they throw it over the other side, and the second they do, the nets are filled with fish. And it reminds them, they had that same experience with Jesus. And the scripture says that the disciples looked, and John says, it is the Lord. And the second that happened, Peter jumps off. You know, the great story. Peter runs to Jesus, even though Peter is the one who had denied Jesus. And he gets up on the shore. And when they gets up on the shore, in John chapter 21, verse 9, it says this. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. And you might just read over that and just not see it. But I think it's exactly the summary that we need for today. You see, many of us will go away from this place and go fishing. And what we're fishing for is success. What we're fishing for is satisfaction. What we're searching for is stuff of life. And we keep coming back empty-handed, nets empty. And every time we catch something, it's not enough. But don't you understand that Jesus is on the shore with everything you're looking for already prepared, already made, on the fire waiting for you to enjoy? You see, the pleasure that the human body longs for in sexual satisfaction, that's just a glimpse of the satisfaction we get from intimacy with the Father. You see, God created our bodies. He knows what it feels like. He made us feel that way. But what we realize is that God helps us understand that the joy and satisfaction we get in physical intimacy with another human being is just an open door, open window to the type of satisfaction we find in intimacy with the Father. You see, the stuff that we go looking for, the Father wants us to realize that there'll be stuff forever in eternity. Don't miss that in your pursuit of stuff that will fade away. Jesus said it this way. Don't chase after things on this earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. And success. Oh, we chase after success. But the most successful person that's ever lived is Jesus, because he conquered death and the grave. Yet in our world, he didn't have the degrees. He didn't have the titles. He didn't have the things that people would think are so important. But there's no one who's won like Jesus has won. So that's my challenge to us today. Do you have your bags packed? Are you about going on the journey? Would you stop for a second and let somebody who's been on the journey tell you that it's not worth it? And for some of you who are on the journey, realize this, come home. Everything you're searching for is on the shore waiting for you. Everything you're searching for is on the front porch with Jesus.